What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, it's Bubba. Let me tell you something. My go-to gift when I can't figure out what to buy for somebody is an unbelievable kick-ass package from Omaha Steaks. From the meat to the dessert and everything in between, Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new homemade texture for the juiciest home-style burger that you've ever tasted. Their Pure Ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha Steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun, filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive burger perfection flight for only $79.99. Go to OmahaSteaks.com and use promo code Bubba at checkout and get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You're going to get four of each Pure Ground burger plus a sample of all the steak on the bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to OmahaSteaks.com right now. Use promo code Bubba at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required. Again, OmahaSteaks.com. Use promo code Bubba at checkout.
Check 1, 2. Let's get this party started. Hello and welcome to the Anna Hummel Show. Sounds weird. Things are constantly changing, and that's the only thing that's consistent in life is changed. Is change is what I meant to say. Welcome to the Anna Hummel Show. My name is Anna Hummel, if those are of you for not familiar with the show. It's a little bit odd staying here and sitting in here all alone, talking to you, but also talking to myself. I'm used to having a co-host throughout my career, with whether it be Lummy or Blitz, or when I was at The Bone and doing shows with my buddy Will. There was always someone to kind of give you some feedback. I like more of a dialogue than a monologue. But we must challenge ourselves to do new things. And for those of you that have listened to my shows, especially when I did them with Lummy and Blitz, it was me just rambling on and on and on and on most of the time anyways. But it was nice to see another face, to talk to a human being, to look at them in their eyes. But listen, we're trying new things. We're doing new things. Thank you so much for those who have waited around to watch me talk to myself, but also talk to you. Because I'm sure we'll get some calls today, hopefully, fingers crossed. But maybe not, because sometimes your calls suck and they're bad. So feel free to call in so we can interact together. 813-90-BUBBA if you'd like to call in. As I was kind of going through the laundry list of things I'd like to talk about last night, I was like, what? Should there be a theme to the show? I feel like I'm jack of all trades, master of none, jack of some trades, master of certainly none. So I'm not a doctor. I do like to give unsolicited medical advice. I like to tell people what I think they should do, but I like to tell people in a general sense. Like, I probably won't go up to somebody and be like, you should do this to do, you know, lose weight or gain muscle or whatever. But I do like to just give general advice, and then when you take my advice, it makes my heart ever so happy. So thank you to those that have called in, especially with the intermittent fasting thing, because I've really claimed that as my own idea. It is not. It is something that people practice, I think, essentially for... Well, that's kind of how we existed on the savannah when we were evolving from Australopithecines to Homo erectus to Homo habilis. And then to Cro-Magnon and Homo sapiens, what we are today. So we're kind of like dipping back into our ancestral history and going, how did we do it back then? Maybe we should return to the way things once were. It's really the most conservative flex one could do because obviously you want to keep things the status quo. But sometimes when things evolve and change over thousands of years, you kind of got to go, hey, hold on. I think where we are at right now is not the move, and we need to return to the way things once were. So I like to talk about health. I like to talk about fitness. I know I'm sure you guys are fucking sick and tired of hearing about it, but I love talking about it. It's one of my favorite things right after talking about me, which is, you know, my favorite topic, and I'm sure it's your favorite topic to talk about yourself, and that is something that I've used to my advantage in almost every social interaction, especially when it's with a newer person. So I went to a brunch a few weeks ago, say, and at this brunch, I knew one person. I pretty much knew my roommate. That was it. It was for her birthday deal. I was not the one that organized it, but I was invited, and so I did attend, and it was a bunch of people that I had never met before. So, you know, they all know each other. I'm the odd man, woman, out, they be out, want to be as inclusive as possible. And, you know, in situations like that, it's really strange because, like, I talk for a living. I should be able to interact with people, and I'm like, I can at least pretend to be friendly. Like, not that I'm the most friendliest person. People have said a lot of things about me over the years. I don't think friendly is in the top five adjectives. Maybe. You know, during BARP, I'm pretty friendly just because it's a festive time. But generally speaking, I don't think that people would say that I'm particular. They're like, she's relatable, maybe funny, you know, smart isn't one I like to hear. But, like, friendly is, you know, maybe not in the top five. So I was honestly a little bit nervous, which is unusual for me to be in a situation, a social situation. Not that I'm super socially gifted, but come on, a little bit. Here's the thing. It's not something that, I don't want to say it's not something that comes natural. It's something that I have to turn on, like most people, where you know, is anyone donating money? I'm sorry if I'm not calling it out. There's just a lot going on, and it's just me, baby. It's just me today and possibly forever. So, I go to this brunch, and I don't know anyone but Rachel. So, and I'm submerged in the middle, which was just luck, because you don't want to be the person nobody knows on the end of the table. I really kind of take, you have to survey the whole situation, and you go, okay, what's the best for me as someone who knows no one right in the smack in the middle of everything? Because then you can kind of be a little bit more involved. And I'm the type of person where, especially if I'm in a situation where I'm a little bit uncomfortable, not because people are mean or anything, but just like you don't know anybody. You know, I got dressed up. I'm going to this place I've never been to meet people I don't know. And you're just like, what's going to happen? Am I going to fit in? Am I going to say something, you know, off-colored, and that's going to make people upset? So I was like, all right, this is unusual. Because usually when I go and hang out with people, it's people I know, people I'm comfortable with, people that know me, people, you know, that I've just had multiple interactions with before. So I wasn't quite sure how this was going to go down. So I go in, and everyone's like nice, but they're talking amongst themselves about themselves. And something that's really helped me, and I think I grabbed it from like a book my dad read. It was a very popular book. I'm sure many of you have heard of it or read it. I think it's How to Win Friends and Influence People. My dad really needed to read that book because he was not great on the how to make friends spectrum. Probably pretty low, and I think a lot of that was cultural stuff. I think the way that, not that my dad is Israeli, but you have to understand he came from 13 years of living in Israel where people don't, you don't say hello to your neighbor. It's not, it's like you say hello to people you know and you fucking ignore everybody else. So my dad would say, was very confused when he first came to the States where, you know, he'd be jogging with my mom and some neighbor, you know, some person run and be like, hey, and my mom's like, hey, and my dad's like, how the fuck do you know this guy? My mom's like, I don't know this guy. And he's like, well, why'd you say hello? He's like, because Americans are fucking friendly, bitch. So, you know, it took a little bit of an adjustment period for my father to you're saying hello and waving to people you don't know. So he had to read a book about how to make friends and influence people. And I remember reading a little bit of myself. And one of the best things that you can do is just get people talking about themselves. Because, boy, do they love it. Ah! Is that Rhett? Is that Rhett? Ah, Bubba! I just saw a fucking hand appear. You could have told me you were here. I know you didn't want to stop slow my roll, but... I was rolling like a motherfucker. I was in my zone. But yeah, that hand threw me the fuck off. But that's okay. We're back. We're back. So I read this book about how to win friends and influence people. And the way that I have found success, whether it be in an interview setting or making new friends or just a casual interaction with a stranger, is get them talking about them. Don't even try to interject. Don't even say, I've been there too. Don't even say that. Just ask them questions and look at them right in their fucking face and make them feel like they are the most important and interesting person you've ever met. And I promise you, when they walk away from that situation, am I in an earthquake right now? I don't want to say that you've made a bad situation worse, but I know. I just see the camera fucking jumping around, this hand that just keeps popping out. Now the monitor's moving. Listen, it's okay. I'm a radio professional, and I can work through this. This isn't distracting at all. Is everything okay, Bubba? Do you need me to help you?
I'm not okay.
Okay, he's not. Are you on extra pills today?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's getting ready for lunch. He's got a pill up for lunch with the Diacos. You got to let us know if Krista shows up, because that's probably not the move. You know, as a woman, if you know that the guy is going out with the boys, you kind of just gotta hold back. Not that it would be bad, because Krista's presence is awesome and she's a cool ass chick. But I understand that it changes the dynamic of any sort of meeting or interaction when it's, especially when it's like one person's brings their spouse. That looks pretty good. Yeah, you can see. Yeah, you can see my big muscles. So that's cool. Anything that shows them off. You know, most people are interested in TNA, but I got back and shoulders. So anything I can do to highlight my strengths, I'm a fan of that. 813-90 above. If you'd like to call in and join the conversation with myself. So yeah, get people talking about them. Can't with you in this fucking camera. I know, I sure was. I honestly would have preferred you say, hey, I'm here, versus me see that camera. You know how skittish I am. Yeah, that's frightening. Don't you have a lunch to tend to?
Okay, I think that's good. I wanted to get all of your essence.
Thank you. I appreciate you. No, it's cool. But hey, Bubs, thank you. Appreciate you. The more the peanut head, because I got a big old head. With lots of brains in it, probably not. 813-90 Bubba. The camera is certainly worse than where it began. But that, hey, that's okay. This is not my gimmick. This is Bubba's gimmick, and I'm just happy to be here. So thank you very much. So the moral of the story is, I went to this brunch and I fucking killed it. I got these people. You got them laughing a little bit. You get them talking about them. I had a full blown conversation with a man about St. Louis, Missouri, and the types of fried foods they eat there. I had no interest in what I was talking about, but I had an interest in making these people like me. Like, not making them in a sense where you're forcing them, but putting them in a situation where they have no choice but to love me and want me around and to come back for more. So I do get kind of like... get off on that, getting people to the point where they're just like, oh, it's great. She is so charming and funny. But it's certainly something that I have to turn on, and is often turned off as well. As soon as I got in my car, it was like a, whew. How is, are we, it looks like it's loading. I know we got, maybe got some issues here. I don't know if the stream is on right now, so you're going to have to work with me. I keep reloading it. It looks like it's, I don't know if I'm rolling. Hopefully people can let me know what's going on just in the event that it's not live, but I think we're good. I think we're good. Are people, Rhett, maybe you could help me out here if you're around. Maybe not. I'm going to just keep talking. 813-90-BUBBA. Call in just in the event so I know what's going on and if people can hear me right now. It says that it's live, latest live stream. Let's see what is going on here. Is it what? Okay. Still on the local recording. Guys, I'm sorry. There's things going on. I'm not sure if the camera manipulation affected the stream at all. I would say it may have. But that's fine because I'm a radio professional and I appreciate and I welcome new challenges every day. If you can hear me, which you probably can't because I think I'm just on the local recording, we're getting things back up. So just give us a moment. Maybe I'll play some music. In audio. Mm-hmm. Next song.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll be right back.
Oh, we're back. God bless. I think I lost the chat, too. Red, if you could mosey on in here. What does this say? Create. Just give me a second, folks. We're working out the kinks here. Alrighty. Red is in studio. Can you show me where the chat be?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you. Oh,
you're good. It like just, I think that's the wrong mouse. That's what, yeah, it's this mouse right here. Where did it go? Did I made it disappeared. Not that I'm gonna read it, and I feel bad. There we go. Beautiful. Thank you guys. Thanks for being patient. Thank you, Rhett. Appreciate it. 813-90-BUBBA. If you'd like to call in. We got a Bubba 199 tonight. Very excited about it. It's going to be quite the party. It is Bubba's 47th, if my math is correct, 47th birthday, and he's very excited about it. And, you know, don't be fooled. Everybody likes celebrating their birthday, but they want other people to do it for them. So, you know, when Bubba says, like, I don't want to do anything for my birthday, like, don't believe that for one fucking second, because everybody likes to be showered with gifts, with love, with presents, with cakes. If you're a woman, maybe with flowers and balloons. Everybody likes that because your birthday is a good proxy for how much you matter. And no one likes to say that because there's some people that maybe don't get nothing for their birthday. But it's kind of like a good litmus test to see like how many tentacles you have in society, how much you matter to other people, you know, that sort of deal. And everybody knows this, but nobody wants to say that because there's lots of people who get nothing for their birthday and nobody knows it's their birthday. And that's not to say that you don't matter, but I would say that, you know, if you are, I don't know, the president of the United States, like a lot of people are going to come to your B-Day bash. If you're Bubba the Love Sponge, a lot of people want to come to your B-Day bash. And if the doors were open, if there was an open door policy, we'd be seeing a lot more than 24 people. So it's kind of like this proxy, a good, you know, litmus test to see how much do I matter. So when people say, I don't want you to do anything for my birthday, that's a lie. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they want a party. Is sometimes they don't want, that's true, they don't want to party, but they do like the texts, you know, let's limit the phone calls unless you're a parent, maybe a sibling. But yeah, if you're just kind of like a peripheral friend, texts are the best. Thank you so much. Cards are always appreciated, but presents are supreme. Everybody, even if it's a bad gift, just knowing that someone went to a store, went to Amazon or whatever and spent at least a good 5 minutes with you in mind thinking, wow, Anna, Bubba, Lummy, anybody would really appreciate if I got them this. Just the gesture. Maybe if you were to make them a cake. So that's been my poor person's guide to showing gratitude, if I may extend that suggestion to others. Because when you're poor, when you are getting, it's not gifts, but when you're getting services or products or whatever from people like, say, Dr. Dan, what can I buy Dan that he doesn't already have? A cooler car? Yeah, right. No, can't do that. I'm not going to get him like a cool like gift toy. He can buy all the things. So what do you get anyone on a somewhat consistent basis, because I like to show gratitude in any sort of way in which people do something for me, right? If people go out of their way to, you know, get pus out of my finger or give me Botox or whatever the case may be, or drain my fucking ear because I almost got cauliflower ear. How do I show gratitude? That's something that I can afford, that something that they'll appreciate. And the answer is always food. Food in some capacity, whether it is a home-cooked meal, which is not really my forte. But, you know, baked goods. I like the baked goods. I like watching people bake the goods. I like watching people eat the goods. So it's fun for me, and the people appreciate it. And I think that's that has been my little trick and tip for if you're trying to show gratitude to somebody, they did something nice for you. A nice way to reciprocate or just show gratitude is through food. 813-90-BUBBA. I know we got in a conversation about me being vegetarian and maybe not being having that healthiest, most healthy diet on the planet. And I was getting this advice, of course, from someone who makes Presto pizza makers and another person who, you know, eats gas station food on the regular. So, and here's the thing. Most people know what's healthy and what's not, but I like to go down the rabbit hole to find out, like, what is the best diet? Because there's so much conjecture out there as to what is the best way, the optimal way to live in terms of calories consumed, the macronutrient breakdown, vegan. You hear people say vegan's the healthiest. You know, if you talk to my father, who is vegan, which I always regret telling people because he's not a militant vegan. He's a good kind of vegan because there's good and evil vegans. The evil vegans are the ones you don't invite to dinner parties because they're fucking annoying and they tell people how to eat and they talk about how animals suffer and you just go, shut up. I don't want to hear about it. My father, on the other hand, is a vegan that just keeps that shit to himself. Now, if you make the mistake about asking him about being a vegan, well, now that's on you because now you've opened up a proverbial can of vegan worms and he's going to tell you all the reasons why being vegan is the best way. I'm not going to tell you how to eat. Obviously, like I said earlier, I'll tell you not to eat because that's the best fucking thing you could do. Is not eat, which is so crazy. And I feel like a whore that came back and discovered Jesus, and I want to share the gospel, except my shit actually works. There's no praying involved. There's just evidence, science, hard facts that are proving my point. And every time I can't even tell you. So many people said nice things to me at BARP or when you guys call in, you tell us that you're a fan of the show or a fan of me, whatever. Obviously, that makes me feel good. But like when Brian from Philly came up to me at BARP and told me he lost 40 pounds because he did intermittent fasting because of the shit I was spewing out of my mouth, that made me really happy. When one of the Nashes came up to me and told me the same thing. We had a caller, I'm going to fuck up his name. Was it Mario? I don't know. Everyone's named Mario. When someone called in and said that they were beating up their, I think it was yesterday, that they hit their grandkid and they also lost 80 pounds doing intermittent fasting. That makes me feel like I'm actually making a difference. That makes me feel like I'm making a difference. So thank you to those that call in to tell me that, because and again, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to claim it as my own. It's my own idea that I discovered, you know, let's just say it started getting some legs maybe 10, 15 years ago, but I only stumbled upon it 2 years ago. So that's when it came into being, is when I decided to open my eyes to it and really try to spread the gospel as much as possible, because and it's something that's kind of not shameful, but when you're someone who's been, I was working out in my room and diet focused ever since the age of like 12. Like I was aware of calories at 12. I remember being at college and having a conversation with one of my roommates who was probably shame. She was the ugliest and the dumbest out of 9 girls. So that's not a good combination. You know, usually the smarter, the dumber you think. You think it's like a hot, crazy or hot, dumb matrix. But unfortunately for this girl, and we called her Smashley. Her name was Ashley. But she was the ugliest one out of 9 girls and the dumbest. So everyone was hotter and smarter than her. And I remember having a conversation with her in the kitchen and she was explaining that she doesn't know anything about nutrition. And we're like, okay, so you don't know about the biochemistry of nutrition. It's okay. And so my roommate, Jackie, one of the hotter and smarter girls, goes, well, do you know how many calories are in like this jar of peanut butter? Like she just picked up a jar of peanut butter, obviously hiding the nutrition facts. And she's like, do you know how many calories are in this jar of peanut butter? And Ashley just like kind of shrugs, Smashley, because she'd get fucked up. Smashley just kind of shrugs, and she just goes, I don't know, like 150. And Jackie and I were like, whoa. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're dumb, but that just means, like, you don't know shit. I'm like, damn, if you don't know that. I'm like, bitch, that's not even one serving. That's not even two tablespoons. This whole thing is, like, fucking 3,000 calories, this whole thing right here, this giant jar of peanut butter. She just had no fucking clue, which is why, you know, that also contributed to why she was maybe, you know, one of the ugliest and also happened to be one of the dumbest. Apparently turned into an attorney. Apparently that's what happens sometimes, is you're just like, how the fuck did you go to DeVry University? I don't know what's going on with you. But anyways, I definitely don't think that necessarily being a vegetarian is the healthiest way to live, because there's a lot of ways to get it wrong. And there's a lot of ways to get being vegan wrong. My dad was doing it wrong for a few years, where he was just like fucking farting all the time. And you can gain weight because you're just eating fucking potatoes and vegan pasta. And you're like, but it's vegan. It's like, yeah, but also your blood glucose is through the roof. This is a problem. So I had a vegan roommate in Detroit, and it actually ended up being really fucking weird, because this vegan roommate I had in Detroit, Michigan, I moved to Florida. Okay, so we have that story, right? I have a vegan roommate in Michigan, who was from Cleveland, of all places. Well, I moved to Florida, whatever, 1,200 miles south, maybe. I'm just throwing that number out there. I get a new roommate after the Chinese trilogy, but Rachel Reagan. These girls knew each other. What the fuck? Because my Detroit roommate was from Cleveland, in the same suburb as Rachel as well. It was very bizarre. And then I moved to, Tampa or St. Pete, whatever, and I start rooming with Rachel, and I start telling her about this vegan roommate. I'm like, yeah, she was from Strongsville or whatever. Interesting. Kind of like, you know, you start deducing everything, and I'm like, yeah, her name was Alicia. And she's like, Alicia Blank? And I'm like, no fucking way. You guys know each other? How small is this world? So yeah, I lived with two people that I met from fucking Craigslist, okay? Just random people. No one recommended each other. But the girl that I lived with randomly in Detroit personally knows the girl I now live with in St. Pete. So crazy shit. Can't believe that happened. But anyways, the vegan chick, when I met her and she was vegan, we had a lot in common, because vegan, vegetarian, you're like, oh, we're into similar shit. We like eating alfalfa sprouts or whatever. So we're talking about it, and, you know, the months go by. We probably lived together for like a year and a half or so. And she's getting fatter and fatter. And she's like, I don't know why I'm gaining weight. I'm a vegan. And I'm like, well, you know, I didn't want to be rude and be like, well, you're not just eating broccoli. Like, you can't eat a whole pizza. And she would just order a whole vegan pizza, and she would say, but it's vegan. And I'm like, that's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. We got to be a little bit careful about the volume and consumption, because sometimes donuts are vegan. And sometimes, you know, candy bars can be vegan. So we have to just be careful. So I try to educate, because I'm educating myself constantly. And again, much like someone who's recently found God, I feel the need to share this information with others. And nothing makes me feel better about myself is when you call in and you tell me all the shit I've been spewing is working. You're validating me, and I appreciate it. So don't get me wrong. Like, I'm happy for you, but I'm happier for me. I'm happy that you are proving my point. Nothing feels better than when people are like, let me try this. And the best thing about intermittent fasting, and, you know, we'll move on from there, is the fact that it's fucking free 99. Nothing speaks to my Jewish heart more than saying, you got to try this new diet called not fucking doing shit. Don't eat. You don't have to walk any more than you do. You're not going to, I'm going to say a lot of controversial things here. And one of them is calorie counting fucking doesn't work. Or it may work in the short term, but you're not going to have any sustained long-term progress, excuse me, from counting calories or even calorie restriction. You go, Anna, that's blasphemy. everything is calories in, calories out, don't you know? And I go, well, did you know that when you start consuming less calories with these calorie-restrictive diets, your body starts burning fewer calories? So you go, what the fuck? How do I win this? And the answer is intermittent fasting. So that was devastating for me because it shook. When I first came across all this shit that's been around for decades, I was like, what do you mean calorie restriction doesn't work? It's all about calories in, calories out, but it's also calories burned and calories stored. So if you're taking in fewer calories, your body, unfortunately for you, is very efficient. So if I run a mile, and let's just say Bubba runs a mile, we are not going to burn the same amount of calories. He's going to burn way more calories than me, which isn't fair, but my body's more efficient. And that's just kind of how the game works. So you kind of have to, you're fighting efficiency, although it's kind of, you know, it's in your body's best interest to be efficient because that's how you survive, is you can't just be burning tons and tons and tons of calories. Like, you can't have people, you know, running marathons burning, I don't know, 100,000 calories because they're just not going to have enough energy sustained in either the glycogen that they have or their fat storages. So how do they do it? Well, their bodies become more efficient. And then you go, well, that just seems like a losing game. How the fuck am I going to ever lose weight? And then I tell you, it's what you eat and, more importantly, what you don't eat. So just don't fucking eat, because if you wait long enough, your body is like a hybrid car. You can burn fuel or you can do the electric deal. And so you need to move from, you know, you run out of fuel, which is the glycogen, the glucose in your blood and your muscles, glycogen in your muscles and your liver. Once that gets depleted, you go, where the fuck am I going to get energy from? And then the body does the little bit of transition. I forgot what that process is called, but there's a name for it. But then once it hops over, now you're in the fat burning mode. And there's a few ways to get there, obviously, but the most effective way is to just fast that ass off, baby. Fast that ass off. And you don't have to not eat for like a fucking week or anything like that. But, and then if you couple that with eating correctly, you know, eating a whole food diet, which I don't think any legitimate physician would tell you not to do, you know, eat things in their most natural state, maybe stay away from the Lucky Charms and maybe have a piece of fruit. I don't know, just a suggestion. If you can do that, if you can eat a mostly whole food diet, because a lot of whole food is going to have fiber. Stay away from the fucking juices. They're not good for you. Eat a whole food, whole fruit, whole vegetables, things like that. They're going to fill you up, and you're going to see some serious success. And I feel like I've cracked the Da Vinci Code for you guys. I've figured it out. It's sustainable. It's easy. I shouldn't say it's easy. It's simple, not easy. There's certainly a difference there because, you know, at the beginning of the intermittent fasting process, it was fucking annoying. Like, you're like, I'm hungry. But then what I started to do is I started to David Goggins myself. And if you don't know who that guy is, maybe you want to check him out. But you just go, okay, I'm hungry. So fucking what? Deal with it, you little pussy bitch. You can't deal with a little hunger? Come on. And then you just, I tell myself not to be hungry, and then I'm not hungry anymore. That obviously takes practice. I don't recommend anyone doing like a 24-hour or even 18 hours right off the bat. Just try to go 12. Go 12 and then just kind of keep up in the ante, you know, week after week, 13, 14, 15, and you're going to feel better. You're going to feel less bloated, and you're going to lose weight if that's what your goal is. You're not going to lose weight. You'll probably lose a little bit of muscle, but you'll mostly lose fat because that's what you're burning. So let's take a few phone calls because I've gone on quite a long time, as everyone expected. Christ almighty. Hello?
Anna.
What's up?
Brian from Philly, how you doing?
What's up? I freaking summoned you. Brian, can you tell the impact you've had on me because of the impact I've had on you? It makes me feel so good, and thank you for telling me that,
sure.
That Barb.
I used to weigh about 245. I had type 2 diabetes. I looked like shit. But then I started fasting.
And, yeah.
About 2 years, I guess it's been, maybe more. But now I'm just maintaining 210, 215.
That's fantastic.
I don't have type 2 diabetes anymore.
That's what I like to hear. Testimonials. Call in. Yeah.
The cholesterol's normal now. It changed my life, actually. I mean, like, people see me. I haven't seen in a while. I saw a girl over the weekend I hadn't seen in a while. She was like, oh, my God.
Very impressed.
Great.
I'm getting Brian laid. This goes well beyond diet.
Like, people are like, are you sick? Did you get sick? I'm like, no, I just diet.
Yeah. So, yeah. Great. Well, that is fantastic.
I'm on my way to Tampa right
Woo!
Now.
We'll see you tonight, right?
Yeah. I'll be there in about three and a half hours.
Perfect. Brian, can't wait to see you. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Going to Union with Little Wilbur's afterbirth.
Oh, wonderful. I love when you guys hook up with each other, not necessarily sexually, but, you know, you make friends with each other. I hear people, you know, I love hearing that because it extends beyond us. You know, it's a community of people. Everybody likes the show. Everybody has a sense of humor, and it's a group of great peeps.
It is. I met, you know, so many great people at Barb, and a couple of them I still, you know, in touch with. So it's awesome.
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. I'll see you tonight.
All right, we'll do. We'll do, sir.
Bye-bye.
Hello, who's this?
This is the Beth.
The Beth?
Yeah, Beth.
Yes, Beth. What's going on, Beth? Talk to me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Anna.
Yes.
I wanted to thank you. I've been intermittent fasting, and I have 50 pounds.
I think you're breaking up, but you want to tell me that I was right about everything and it's working fantastically, right?
Absolutely. And I
Beautiful.
Love what you bring to the show. Can
Thank
you. Hear
you.
Me now?
Yes, ma'am. Much clearer.
Your knowledge and your humor, it's what Bubba's needed in the show for a long time. And it's great.
Thank you, Beth. How much weight have you lost on this deal?
About 1,000 pounds.
Okay, great.
No, 50.
Oh, 50. I'm sorry. You cut out again, so I just decided to insert any number. 50 pounds is fantastic.
Great.
Yeah. You cut out, so I'm like, yeah, it's 1,000. Rounding up. So that is fantastic. Is it maintainable? Is it? It's pretty easy to do.
I'm maintaining, but I started my fast a little bit longer, from about 16. to 18. I haven't been able to get as much exercise the last couple weeks.
That's fine.
So
yeah.
I'm a little like 2 pounds up, so I'm really
That's
being
fine.
Careful.
The body fluctuates. But there's nothing to worry about. Even if you gain 5 or 7, like, the body fluctuates. So don't worry about that.
Question though.
Yeah.
That I have. If I drink a Monster, which I've done all along, a Monster Zero in the morning,
yeah,
it has like 3 carbs. Am I breaking my fast?
I mean, technically, yes, but I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned about it. But yeah, anything that you're consuming that's not like tea, water, or coffee is considered breaking a fast. But some people don't even have coffee. Like, they consider anything other than water breaking a fast. So I would say it's breaking the fast, but I would say I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Okay. Well, and then Dr. Dan swears by the rehabs, the Monster rehabs.
That's his health advice. Yeah, I think his, I don't know if his are zero, but I know that it's not like a full Monster.
It's
like 25 calories.
Added sugar.
Oh, it does? Okay. Yeah, I don't drink, to be honest, I don't drink too much Monster. I do have a Celsius or Celsius every once in a while, but I wouldn't recommend that. I try to stay away from energy drinks, not for the fasting purposes, but, you know, and I know that we're trying to get a Monster endorsement, so I'm treading lightly, but yeah, you know, hey, if it works for you, it works for you.
What I started doing, because the rehabs have 7 carbs and 3 sugars. So if I'm not doing a lot of exercise, I started drinking.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely consider that breaking the fast, but I honestly wouldn't be too concerned about it. You're not having a fucking bagel. It's a, you know, 3 carbs. You're fine.
That's true.
Yeah.
Show, and I really enjoy what you bring to the show.
Thank you, Beth. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry the connection isn't great, but thank you for calling in nonetheless.
Thank you.
All right.
Now.
Yep. Hello, who's this? Welcome to the Anna Hummel Show. Sounds weird. Okay. Hello? No? Okay. Fantastic. 813-90-BUBBA. If you'd like to call in and join the show, contribute a little bit. Now, this was a long kind of road to me trying to tell you that I came up on intermittent fasting much later than I would have liked to. I wish that this was a part of my game plan, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Although, you know, kind of maybe not, because I'm getting better about it now. But for those that maybe don't know me so well, when I get latched on to something, I latch on pretty hard. So, you know, when I was in college, say, I started, you know, eating better and exercising more. And I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm running a couple miles a day. Why not run 10? And started doing crazy stuff and ran into some health problems because I was overexerting myself. So maybe for my less mature brain, maybe the intermittent fasting, because, you know, I could see myself being like, I'm going to go for a week and not eat. So you do kind of got to scale it back, especially when you got issues with OCD, like some of us have, or anxiety, or you just kind of you get carried away a little bit too easily, which I find myself doing sometimes. But what I was trying to say is that, you know, I did come up on this quite later than I would have liked. And I started realizing last night, it occurred to me as I was falling asleep with my, you know, 8K pen. It was nice. Just a touch of it. I just wanted to feel it on my lips. I started realizing that there's lots of things that, not a lot, a few things that get illuminated way too late in life that just kind of miss your radar your entire life. And when it gets exposed that you don't know something that's, quote, common knowledge, it's really embarrassing, especially when you work in radio, and then your blind spots become exposed. So, for example, I learned very recently that I think it's the term chasing the hair of the dog. I think that's it. Is a term that white people use to essentially keep drinking the next morning. Like, they're hungover and they're trying to avoid, or they're, maybe they're still drunk, trying to avoid a hangover by drinking more. Now, I went to college and I was around keg environments and drinking and shots. And I was probably binge drinking 2 to 3 nights a week in college every week for 4 years without fail. And the like 5 or 6 times that I didn't go out on a weekend, it was like, oh, that's the time I thought I had swine flu. You know, I thought I had the H1N1 when that was cool. And that's the time that I had to go home because, you know, the family dog died and I couldn't get fucked up. So I was drinking all the time. Never once did I hear anyone say chase the hair of the dog, or if that's even the term. And then it became exposed. I don't know if it was on the show. I don't know. I think it was with Blitz privately. And he said, yeah, chase the hair of the dog. And I said, what the fuck is that mean? What is this some old person deal? And he's like, no, it's a pretty common term that everybody knows. And what I hate the most, what Blitz does, that's what he says. He's like, and this hurts me because I consider myself to be somewhat, not just smart, because this isn't like a smart deal, but like I'm aware of things that people say and I pay attention to most things. But when he says to me, like, I'm really surprised you don't know that. I'm like, fuck you, bitch. That makes me feel like you're disappointed in me that you expected more and I came up short. So he kept saying that. He's like, I'm just really surprised you haven't heard that. I'm like, got it first time, motherfucker. So I made it a point to go out of my way to survey people that I thought wouldn't know what it meant. So I hit up my girlfriend, who's exactly my age, you know, because I'm like, it's a generational difference. Like, you're older than me, like way older, because I'm 26. And I've never heard that term because my friends didn't use that. And I have no idea what you're talking about. So I reach out to some friends that I went to college with, and they all knew what it meant. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, well, when did you learn what that meant? Now, to be fair, most of them learned it after college because they're like, I had an old white friend and they said it. And I was like, what the fuck? And then we figured it out. But that just never occurred to me. So that's a moment that I can remember. I'll give a few more examples and then I will ask you to call in and give me your examples to make me feel a little better. Stuff that just fucking missed your radar and you didn't know about it when you should have known about it. And then it gets exposed as an adult, especially when you're a somewhat competent adult. You know, if like Hootie doesn't know, Hootie probably definitely knows what chasing the hair of the dog or whatever the fuck that is. He knows what that means. That's how he lives his life. But, you know, other things that are, you know, common knowledge. Like, I remember I was in like second or third grade when I found out a tomato was a fruit. You know, and that kind of like shakes up your life a little bit. You go, what? No, it's a vegetable. Then you dive a little bit deeper as, you know, an adolescent and an adult, and you go, oh, a tomato is actually legally a vegetable. It's treated. If you get into the whole like legality of fruit and fucking produce, it's not really interesting, but it is kind of bizarre that, like, in 1898 or whenever, I'm probably right on that date, they're like, we're gonna this treat this as a vegetable, even though biologically and anatomically it is a fucking fruit. So yeah, I remember that kind of shook me up as a kid. It kind of shook me up when I was in Michigan. I think it was like in 2014 or 15, and I was in Meijer, which is a grocery store / department store. It's like Walmart, but a little better. I remember learning that a peanut is not a nut. And I remember where I was. I'm like, what the fuck are you? I'm like, yes, it is. It says nut in the fucking word. What do you mean it's not a nut? And they're like, it's a legume. I'm like, I'm eating fucking beans. Oh my God, Mike. Thurlman, $49.99, Donna Hummel Show. First donation. You are rocking it. Thank you very much, Mike. Much appreciated. I really am glad that I saw that because I'm trying not to read chat and also think and talk and do all the things and answer the calls. Mike, thank you very much. Yay! What about this? So we'll definitely blow the horn for that. Thank you, Mike. Very much appreciated. Thank you for listening. Yeah, so I remember where I was when I found out that a peanut is not a nut. So that kind of shook me up a little bit because I went, what the fuck? I should probably know this at 28. And then one that happened very recently that still kind of is found out an orca is a dolphin. What? Says killer whale. I thought it was a fucking whale. And then I'm watching some goddamn, you know, Planet Earth shit, and they're talking about dolphins and start showing the orcas. Like, I'm like, why is a orca in there? And Blitz is like, a orca is a dolphin. I go, no, it ain't. It's a fucking whale. It says killer whale. He goes, it's a fucking dolphin. I go, I hope you are wrong because this is going to make me very upset. And sure enough, an orca is a dolphin. So. Those are just a few examples of things that have missed my radar. Oh, of course, the most embarrassing one by far, and I think I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I used to host trivia in San Diego. This was about, oh God, I'm old. Very old. It's about 10 years ago, maybe longer. 12. It was before I moved to Michigan, trying to find myself. I came home from Thailand with $64 in my pocket, no plans of the future, didn't apply to grad school, literally just went gallivanting for a year and a half in Australia, Thailand, Malaysia, Laos, and Vietnam, just fucking around. Come back, have $64 in my pocket, just move in back with my parents. It was very circular. You know, you just have this like amazing experience. I went to college for 4 years, which, you know, was the education worth the money? Absolutely not. Was the experience worth the money? Now that's debatable because that is an experience you cannot get unless you fork over the money. And it was especially where I went to school. I didn't go to some fucking, you know, not that Florida State is shitty or anything, but like, okay, do you live on the beach? Are you in Santa Barbara over the cliffs with a beach at your disposal? No, you aren't. So fuck off. So Santa Barbara was awesome. It's amazing. And where am I going with this? Came back from college, had no money, right, moving around, who knows, trivia, that's where it is. The brain is on fire today, folks. Was hosting trivia, and I would always read through the answers before I would host the show, maybe kind of go over it with my father and be like, you know, because sometimes there's an athlete's name or an actor's name that I hadn't heard and I didn't want to mispronounce it in front of a crowd of 60 people. So I would just kind of like do a little bit of a dry run. I'm like, are you familiar with this person? Or I'd ask around because I'd be sent the list of questions like a couple days before my trivia night, which was Tuesdays at Pitchers in Rancho Bernardo. That's where I used to do trivia, as well as a few other places. But that was my baby that I inherited from this fat woman named Rihanna, a white woman all full of tattoos. And when she passed the torch, she gave it to me. And then I had that job for about 2 years. So I would always read through the questions and the answers just to make sure that I was pronouncing them correctly. Now, I don't know if some of you have an extensive knowledge of literature, but there was, I guess, was a play, a French play called Les Miserables. Well, I think I just scanned over that. I'm like, Les Miserables, no problem. Got it. Money in the bank. So I read the question. All the teams got their answers in, and I then tell them that, you know, and the answer is less miserables. And the place erupted for all the wrong reasons. And, you know, if you've ever been in a situation where you're put on the spot and people are yelling at you to do something, like, you know, even if you're in school and, you know, you're called up to solve a math problem, like all of your logical faculties just kind of run away. You can't hear anything. It's just ringing. You know, people were yelling at me, Les Miserables. Like, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you saying? I couldn't understand anybody. I just facepalmed it. And there's really no recovery from that because you can't play it off cool. You can't be like, oh, I'm just fucking with you guys. It's like, nah, I didn't know that. Never knew that. And then, you know, then people start telling you what Blitz told me is, I'm surprised you didn't know that. I'm like, that hurts my feelings. So, yeah, that was probably one of my most embarrassing public moments just because it's off character. Like, I guess if Lummy says something dumb, it hurts less because you're like, that's what you expected. But when someone smart and competent, like myself, says something dumb, you're just like, whoa, there's a glitch in the matrix. There's something you didn't know. And they really like to, like, stick it to you, there, you know, where it hurts. And because, you know, sometimes I think I've heard many people say that, you know, disappointment is only the difference between reality and expectation, right? So if you're expecting to be dumb and then you are dumb, you're just like, it's a net zero. You don't feel bad because you're like, that's what we expected. But when you think you're smart and you think you got it and then you don't, that's a big gap. And then that hurts my self-esteem. So, and it's funny because that probably happened like 12 years ago, but it's deeply embedded in my mind. And I remember telling myself, like, they'll forget, you know, they'll forget. And they never did because every time I'd walk in the door at Pitchers in San Bernardo, they would yell Les Miserables at me every time for 2 years. And it hurt my feelings. Let's take a few calls. Hello, who's this?
Hey, Anna, it's Joe the Supermarket. God bless.
God bless. I like that, too. Joe, what's going on?
I was just calling. I got so many things to tell you, but the first, I just want to thank you so much for the first inaugural Anna Hummel show. You're killing it.
Oh, thank you.
You're on fire. It's almost like ramblings of a lunatic, but you're so lovable that you're not a lunatic.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Thank you. That really makes my heart happy. Thank you.
And I kind of messaged you in chat earlier this week questioning about intermittent fasting. I eat my last meal around 1 p.m.
Yeah.
And I don't eat again all the way until 9 a.m. the following
morning. That's fantastic. Yeah.
And it's not by choice. It's something I just felt in. I just don't have I'm immobilized in a hospital bed.
Oh.
So I can't get up and get my own food. I'm relying on others.
Okay.
And my night help quit. So I don't have any night help to eat. And then
holy shit. Are you just like starving in your bed? Like.
Yeah. But now you've taught me about intermittent fasting, I realize I'm not starving because I make it. I don't even need snacks.
No, you don't need nothing. Yeah, it's been a lie. Yeah.
And even when you said the other day, like, when you have to piss, just wait 30 minutes and then you won't have to piss anymore.
I said that about pissing?
Yeah.
I said that about peeing? You mentioned.
Yeah, you said that this week. You're like, well, if you have to pee, then just wait 30 minutes. And you probably won't have to pee anymore. You're talking about how so much of what we feel is all in our brain.
Did I say that? Yeah, I don't recall. I would have said hunger.
I listen to everything.
So. Okay, maybe I did say that.
You did, and I thank you for it. And even more so, listening to you since you've been around and since you've come around. Because when I first started listening to you, you're mad annoying. Your voice was atrocious.
Yeah.
My mother would
thank
even
you.
Say, oh, my God, why
you're
is she so
here.
Annoying?
Yeah, hey.
But. I think you're awesome. I think
thank
you're
you.
Amazing. I've turned 180 degrees, and you make me better. You make me smarter.
Oh,
yes. You show me how to find my
Don't stop. Keep going.
And how to use my words.
Yes. Thank you. Hey, I appreciate that.
And you know what one of my favorite words you say is?
What?
Ew.
Oh, they're going to say bam, bam. Yeah.
No,
ew.
No.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. That's when something gross. Yeah.
But I love all you say. I mean, what's cheating, Bubs? I love everything.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work. And the crazier you get, the funnier you are, and the more
I love hearing that. Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate you.
Can't wait to the next On Humble show.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good
Bye-bye.
Day. Bye.
Bye out.
Yeah, that's great. Oddly enough, I like hearing when people say, I really didn't like you at the beginning, but you made me a fan. You made me on a fan. Not in the sense that, like, you're a big, like, fan, just in the sense that you just don't hate me anymore, I suppose. So that's a super win for me. I very much appreciate it. Thank you for calling in for all the intermittent fasting testimonials. It's funny because I've heard people in the intermittent fasting community talk amongst themselves, and the hardest thing about it for them is they're like, there's no business model. Like, the app has been created, and I know Trickney uses the app, and she showed me some of her, like, very impressive fasts. But other than that, it's hard to, you know, like with Atkins diet, you could buy some products, or Weight Watchers, you go to the meetings, you know, there's like a community and they have points and the whole thing, like all that shit. And I'm sure it fucking works and some people like it. And I feel like a lot of women like it, especially because you get that sense of community, the accountability. But with fasting, and I heard like one of the biggest proponents of fasting, the guy who got me turned onto it, was just like, how do I make money off of this? And he's like, that's why it's not really so popular, is because it's not like Atkins or the South Beach diet. It's just like, hey, don't fucking eat. And then it's like, how does anyone make money off this? And the answer is you kind of don't. Maybe you write a book about it, but that's pretty much as far as it goes. Because I honestly started thinking about it. I'm like, is there a way that I could have like a side business? And I'm like, well, what do you like? And I started thinking about all the things that I'm into, and I'm just like, there's really no money in anything that has to do with fasting, unless it's just, I don't know, putting together a community of people that don't fucking eat. Like, that sounds not fun. Because I do like eating, and I do like to look at food as fuel for the most part. Most definitely. I think that's a pretty healthy way to do it. But also, you should have some flexibility in your life where you shouldn't never have a donut again. Like, don't make it seem like you can never, you know, not intermittent fast, where you go to a nice dinner and then you're out with family and you're doing a family breakfast the next morning because you're, you know, in Martha's Vineyard hanging out with the migrants or whatever on a family vacation. Like, to me, I make a conscious effort to just, like, try to suspend all of my typical not idiosyncrasies, but routine-based shit that I do. I think it's important to kind of be a little bit more flexible. And I'm saying that as someone who's very inflexible with this sort of stuff. So I'm really trying to make it a point. Like, I try to take the advice I would tell someone else, which is don't let life slip away because you're like, oh, I can't eat past 6. You know, fucking eat past 6 if your friend is in town and they want to go to a nice dinner. Like, don't be a fucking asshole about it. And again, this is an advice I tell myself, because one time, two times, three times isn't really going to do anything. As long as your MO is you on routine, doing your normal shit, then you will be fine. You will be fine. And I'm literally looking at myself in the camera saying, you will be fine. Because sometimes I, as someone who has OCD, and I'm not saying that because mental illness is hot right now, which it is. Mental illness is super cool. It's like a stigma people like to wear as like a badge of honor now. Like, oh, I got depression, anxiety. It's like, yeah, everyone fucking does. But some of the things that trigger me are anything that kind of deviate from my normal. So, for example, and this is so bizarre to me, is Blitz and I got Jet's Pizza. We drove like a fucking hour total to get Jet's Pizza because Jet's is supreme. It's the best pizza on the planet. It's the only thing Detroit did right, and I will give them credit where credit is due. Detroit-style pizza forever with the fucking ranch and the turbo crust. Come get me. So we decide, we're like, well, let's be naughty. Let's be super naughty, and let's get some Jet's Pizza. You know, I was supposed to go to jujitsu, and I'm like, you know what would be better than jujitsu? Pizza. So we got pizza, and it was fucking awesome. And we're sitting in the car with the pizza, and I'm like, all right, drive home. And he's like, well, let's eat some of it now. It's hot. This is the best it's ever going to be. And I went, oh, my God. That didn't even occur to me that I could do that. Because in my mind, I had to go home, make the side salad, eat it as a prepared meal. I couldn't just fucking eat a piece of pizza in the car like an animal. And he's like, yeah, we got to eat a piece right now. And I went, oh, my God, you're right. So it was I felt so dirty and naughty. But sometimes when you get so locked in a routine, like I have for my entire life has been a routine. Now, the routine will change over, you know, but typically I lock in for about like 5-6 years and I'll eat the same thing every day, every fucking day. And it'll taste great every day. And then one day I'll wake up and I go, eh, I'm over this food. And then I move to the next, the next routine. And then that routine will be in lock for about 5 to 6 years and so on and so forth. So I get so locked into a routine that I really can only see in like a two-dimensional space. So when someone says something to me as obvious as like, let's eat a piece of pizza that's hot and ready in the car, I went, that didn't even occur to me that we could fucking do that. I thought that was against the rules. So just as a reminder, although I do think that intermittent fasting is the way to go, don't let it interfere with your, you know, your special occasions, your weddings, your whatnot. Like, come on. You got to live a little bit. Moderation is good. Even moderation sometimes. Sometimes you got to get just fucked up, which I will be getting on Sunday because we got a brunch. Got a brunch planned, and brunches are very important to me because I don't go out anymore. I can't really stay awake past 10 p.m. and be fun. Maybe 11 if I had an energy drink or something or some extra coffee. But typically when the clock strikes 10:15, that's when I kind of shift into, you know, chill down mode. Tease. Thank you so much. $50. Ana, you are the best. Great show. Thank you for being honest, Tease. Thank you for all that you do, Tease. Tease does so much. And you know what? She is so enthusiastic about it. When we were doing the pole dancing, and that video will be posted soon, I promise. It was recorded. You know, I got extra footage from Maria Guatemala. I put it all together. It's getting processed. It's going through copyright shit. I don't know. I don't deal with the back end of stuff. So, but anyways, Tease was there for moral support. You know, she didn't get on the pole, even though we tried to, you know, goad her to do so. But she's always there to just with a smile, telling you you're the best and that you're awesome. And Tease, we appreciate you. You've been a fantastic addition to the Bubba Army, and a lot of people appreciate you. And I can't wait to see you tonight. So thank you very much. We'll take a few more calls, and then I'll probably get the fuck out of here pretty soon. Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Dave, Pennsylvania. Sorry,
Dave from Pennsylvania. Did I hear that?
Yeah,
Dave. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, love you. I just want to say, I don't want to say I discovered intermittent fasting because of you, but I say you inspired me to go back to it.
Okay,
years ago. I was into keto and
what happened? Keto? Got a keto phone. Buddy, call back. Oh, keto. Well, let's talk about keto for a second because this is a health and wellness program now, because that's what I want to talk about because I like talking about this shit. Keto is effective. It is certainly effective. But keto was originally developed for people with epilepsy. And I know a lot about epilepsy. Not going to get into that story. It was originally designed for people who had seizures, especially children, where glucose, sugars, carbohydrates was making their conditions worse. So they would go completely off carbs and they would only eat a high fat and I think moderate protein diet. I can't remember which has more fat, Atkins or keto. I want to say Atkins. I don't know. But I know that they would try to eliminate like most carbs. I don't think you can completely do it, especially because like even vegetables have carbs, but whatever. But keto was very effective for helping mitigate seizures, grand mals, grand minis, whatever the fuck they're called. So that's what it was originally developed as. And much like the Ozempic deal was originally designed for people with diabetes and now has been turned into a weight loss drug for people who really need to lose weight, but also people who just kind of want to lose 10, 15 pounds where it's not really a chronic issue for their health, but they just kind of want to look a little tighter, a little leaner. Same thing with keto is people started using it as a weight loss deal and it works, but you can't really fucking live your life, man. Like, so you have one piece of bread and then it just knocks you out of ketosis. Like, I don't know. And I feel like you're never going to sell people on, because you're just, if you're doing keto, you're just like white knuckle gripping it. You know what I mean? 10 and 2 really hard through the rain, you know, and that muffin is looking at you and that donut is looking at you and you just can't have it. Anything that's going to tell you that, you know, you need to have a complete elimination diet is just something that's not sustainable. Now, that's not to say it doesn't work, but at some point your willpower is going to run out and you're going to want to fucking have that donut. And that's why I like intermittent fasting, because I'm not telling you not to have the donut ever. I'm just saying maybe, like, you know, put it in that smaller feeding window is what I'm saying. And it's okay to have donuts. I fucking love donuts. It's okay to eat like an asshole sometimes. I do it probably like once a week, once every other week, where I just eat like a total fucking asshole. Lately it's been more regular, but I think that's because I'm going to enter Shark Week soon, so I'm going to give myself a little bit of grace there. But anyways, yeah, as long as what you're mostly doing is good, that's fine. But my issue with keto is it's like, how the fuck can I take you out anywhere unless, you're just going to eat like steak and broccoli all the time, you know? You're never going to have that piece of bread. You're never going to have a piece of cake again. You're never going to have that fucking bagel with lox and cream cheese. You're never going to do that ever again. I don't think so. That's no fun. So you got to live life a little bit. You got to give yourself a little bit of leeway. And that's my main issue with keto, is that, you know, there's really, unless the motivation is you're allergic and you're going to die if you have, you know, you're allergic to bread or something, or you're in a situation like, I don't know if some of you listen to Michaela Peterson, Jordan Peterson's daughter, and she is on a strict carnivore diet. Like, all she has, I think, is lamb and cow, and that is it. And that's not because she's trying to like lose weight, but she has like an autoimmune disease. So it's like her shit. She's like, I either take this or I get a horrible flare up and want to kill myself. So in those situations, you got to be kind of hard line, you know, if you got a condition or allergies or whatever, autoimmune willies. But for the rest of us that are fucking normal and can handle gluten and other sort of shit, because our immune system works properly, I wouldn't suggest keto. I would say, you know, maybe go lower carb and intermittent. This is what I say. Watch your carbs. Here, are you ready for the ticket to health, forever health? Here we go. Buckle up. Number one, just watch your carbs. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to eliminate it, but just be mindful of like how many carbs you're consuming. Number two, eat a whole food diet. Okay, even if you have a potato, it's better than having potato juice or some shit like that. You need don't stay away from the fucking juices, because it's pulling out all the fiber, all the shit that's gonna make you full, and all the things that are good for you, and it's just straight sugar. Because whether, you know, sugar comes from a candy bar or an orange, you know, sugar, and reacts in your body in a very similar way. Number three is intermittent fast to the best of your ability. Those three things you can do, that's going to be great for health. Obviously, exercise. Don't exercise to lose weight. It's not going to work. And I know that, oh my God, inflammatory. That's not you. If I run, I'm going to lose weight. No, you won't. No, you fucking won't, because you'll reward yourself with the cheesecake and you'll end up gaining weight. You go, why am I gaining weight? It's like, well, it really doesn't have anything to do with, you know, how much you're exercising, unless you're exercising in an obscene amount, unless you're Michael Phelps in 2008 or something like that. Fine. Okay. But obviously, like, the more you exercise, you're going to be a little bit hungrier. No problem. Eat a little bit more, adjust accordingly, but don't start rewarding yourself with a fucking cake because you walked a mile and a half, please. Get sunlight, obviously, but more important than anything, sleep. Sleep is something that has taken a back burner in probably most of our lives, which is not good, because it's pretty much the number one thing you can do for your health is get adequate and regular sleep. I think I covered all the bases. Exercise, diet, and hydration, obviously. Drink some fucking water. Really not reinventing the wheel here, but just some things, that some reminders that maybe some of you need to hear. Okay. We'll get to a few calls. Hello, who's this?
Dave
from Pennsylvania. Your connection isn't great, buddy, but what's going on?
Okay, well, you said my community.
Intermittent fasting is great. Yeah.
Yep, I refound it. Yep, appreciate it.
Yep. I have no idea what he said. Dave, I'm so sorry. You cut out. I'm just going to fill in the blanks. You want to tell me that you love me, that intermittent fasting has worked for you, and I've been just such a wealth of information over the last 3 years I've been with BRN. So I'm going to just take those accolades as if you said them, and thank you for them. Thank you, Dave from Pennsylvania with the horrible phone connection. Hello, who's this?
Hey, I'm Mike from Naples.
Mike from Naples. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Ironically, both topics you've been talking about came up recently. I will have to disagree with Supermark Joe. I've liked you from the beginning, unfortunately.
God bless you.
But, you know, a guy came up to me at the job site, and I didn't call it intermittent fasting, but he said, you know, what do you do to have abs and muscles, man? What's your workout program? And I said, I just don't eat all day until the evening, and I do my job. I build pools, and that's all I did. I never had a name for it until I listened to you talk about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, literally, I don't go to the gym, nothing, and, yeah, that's it. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, man, just don't eat, you know?
Yeah, it's that simple, but, you know, sometimes the simplest thing is the hardest to execute. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were talking about phrases, and not that it was phrase I missed, but generationally, just yesterday I noticed that there's these common phrases we take for granted that the kids don't even know these days. Like,
such as?
I said Achilles heel, and
okay.
They had no idea what I was talking about. Or par for the course. You know?
Like, yeah,
you know,
a lot of those... Yeah,
and,
cliche
like,
terms.
What are you talking about?
Right.
What's Achilles heel?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, no. It's,
yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, you're doing a great job, and I really appreciate you stepping up, as does everybody else, I'm sure. And I hope you keep doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Who's this?
Hey, Anna, Florida Stanley.
Florida Stanley. I'll be seeing you in a few hours.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
So I have a couple things to talk about that have nothing to do with dieting.
Perfect.
I have my nickname on Facebook set to Florida Stanley. I'm sure most of the people listening know that my real name's Kyle.
Right.
And I have my message notifications turned on. I'll be in Tampa at about 3 o'clock. So if any Bubba Army wants to meet up between 3 and 7:45, I'll be around in the area. Just message me on Facebook.
Are you going to be at any one location and people can come to you or...
No.
Okay.
I'm driving up. So
I see. Oh, okay.
So
oh, that's
I'm
right.
I'm driving. So I'll have all of my loaner car with me.
Okay.
My Jag finally went to the fucking body shop, so they gave me a loaner car. So
okay.
They tried giving me a Camry, and I said, fuck off. Do you see the car I'm turning in? And they gave me a BMW 5 Series instead.
Nothing wrong with a Camry, but okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's hurtful. You know, Gus and I and our relationship.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I know Dan's not listening, so I'll tell you what I got Dan as a gift, but do you think Parent's listening?
They're probably at lunch right now.
Okay, so
I think we're good.
I got them for a gift.
Okay.
So Bubba, I'm gonna give Bubba one of my guns.
I think he'll like that.
I'm gonna put it in one of my ammo crates and give it to him in like one of the old army ammo crates and everything. Hey, hold on, I'm on the phone. Close the door. So I'm going to give him one of my guns. And then I got Dan, they're not like anything crazy expensive or anything, but he'll like the camaraderie of it.
Okay.
I got him carbon fiber sunglasses with gold lenses.
Oh, fuck yeah. Gold lenses. I'm like trying
gold
to imagine
lenses.
What this looks like. Okay. Are they very reflective?
Carbon, yeah. They're the reflective ones.
So I'll be able to see myself gold. In Dan's eyes.
Yes.
Sounded weird,
but it's real. They're real carbon fiber, and
okay.
Then yeah, the lenses are gold. I figured he'd like that. I found them on Amazon. They're like I said, they came in a really nice case. They're not crazy expensive, but I'm sure he'll get a kick out of it.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Why I was hoping that he was going to be there, because if he wasn't going to be there tonight, I was just going to leave him with Bubba and then have him give them to him on Monday or Tuesday.
Nah, Dan's going to be there. Dan's going to be there. He'll be late,
cool.
But he'll be there. He knows that, you know, his presence is wanted and desired. And last time Dan came to 199, I don't know if anybody remembers the infamous ripping the undershirt deal, but that was probably one of the best moments that I think we've all had on the show because it was hilarious. It was awesome.
And then lastly, I got something. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I'm sure you'll be able to figure out what it is. I got something for me and you as well, but only if you feel like partaking.
Oh, wow. I think I may have an inkling as to what that is. And thank you for reminding me, because I do kind of have to do a little bit of an advertisement after this. So I'm like, hey, Sunset Music Festival, what's up?
Yeah. I'm related to that.
Yeah.
I'm bringing that. And I'll be at Sunset. I don't know if you do shrooms, but I'm bringing a bunch of shrooms too.
I haven't done shrooms since college, but is that a lie? No, I haven't. I have done LSD somewhat recently. But anyways, yeah, I'm down for shrimps, and long story short.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, yeah. Yeah. Just any Bubba Army, hit me up on Facebook, and I'll be there around 3 o'clock.
Fantastic. We'll see you soon. All right. Bye. And just a quick note about Florida Stanley. Like, he's actually like a really cool guy. Like, he's fun to hang out with. You know, he's I guess you would call it like a mark for the show, but just like a good one. Like, he never like overstays his welcome. He knows when to leave. Like, just cool dude. Really friendly and definitely good hang. So if you are around or you're kind of getting up in this area, like I'm not quite sure when Brian from Philly will arrive, but you know, link up. It'll be a good time. Oh my God, Belinda Fennell, $25 on Super Chat. Great show, Anna sister. Jeez, my eyes are so bad. If here. Oh, Sister Girl, IF is an intermittent fasting. Sorry, my bad. Thank you so much, B. Fennel. I appreciate that. Antis. Mike Thurnberg? $49.99, I think, was the first one. So thank you guys all so fucking much. That really helps me out. Not because the money goes directly into my pocket, but it's good when Bubba's like, she's fucking generating some stuff. This is nice. This is good. We appreciate her. So, yes, Bubba 199. Oh, the ad. Yes. Not that it's something, an ad that I necessarily need to do, but it's always good for a little bit of an air check. I will be attending Sunset Music Festival. It is, I believe, May 27th and 28th, at Raymond James Stadium. And I've been once before. It is a great time if you are at all into electronic music, which I'm sure most of you are not, because this is probably not the demographic. But some of you are, like Florida Stanley is. I think he might be there. Or Dark Match Steve. Both are either, or maybe neither. But I'm pretty sure Dark Match Steve told me that he was going to go to that or was thinking about going to that. So if you are all into the unts, which can be fun. Like, it's, or here's the thing. Like, I was talking to Blitz about this too. Like, Blitz doesn't love electronic music. Please. But he does like a good production. He likes the aspect of the lights and the lasers. So, you know, if you are into electronic music or you are into just a good fucking show, like you like the lights and it's, because it's fucking intense, especially if you're taking drugs. But it's a lot of fun. There's free water. And I'm not going to mention this on an interview I have coming up with one of the founders of Sunset Music Festival. But I think they did not give free water a few years ago, and some people died. So they make sure that water is plentiful, and you can find it pretty much anywhere, which around the, not the fairgrounds, but over the festival grounds. There's water everywhere, so all you need to do is, like, either I have a hydration pack or bring a water bottle that you can refill, so it's no problem. Because it's very hot. If you're from Florida or you know anything about this part of the country, Memorial Day weekend is the kickoff to summer, and it's hot. It's hot as balls. It's a very hot weekend. And if you're dancing and you're on drugs and you're in the sun all day and you're not eating, then it can be detrimental for your health. So make sure that you are staying hydrated. And they have plenty of water for everyone to have, because all it takes is one person to die and then everybody gets free water. And you can say to yourself, is that worth the trade? And some might say yes. Some might say yes. 81390 Bubba, I think we kind of have to get out of here soon, but we'll take a few more calls. Come on. Hello, who's this? I'm feeling friendly.
Anna.
What's up?
Hello, it's Sicilian Redneck. How you doing?
Sicilian Redneck. I feel like we have a pretty good relationship in chat, which is unusual. Because because most people, I'm like, fuck that guy. But I'm like, Sicilian Redneck is cool. He always gives me the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you.
So
missing Blitz a little bit, but you're still smashing it. You're killing it.
I'm missing Blitz a lot. You know, yeah. Of course I do. You know, he's my my partner. Even though that term sounds disgusting, but you know, we met through the show, and we have a lot of history through the show. And it's sad that he's not here. It makes me sad. But it's an adjustment period, and I still see him, you know, almost every day. So I'm lucky like that. So, but anyways, go on.
Okay. Now I was going to ask for your help, but I don't want to take up a lot of your time.
No, please. I love it when people ask for my help.
I work out Monday through Friday.
Great.
I'm an early evening, late afternoon workout.
Perfect.
That's when I can do it.
Perfect.
Usually have dinner about 7-ish, you know, and I've gotten in pretty good shape, but I've still got some unwanted, you know, you know, fat belly, fat around the belly and love handles.
Yeah.
And so I want to try this fasting thing. So, you know, just real briefly, how do I get started on this? And I heard you say something about maybe coffee or water is acceptable.
Black coffee. So don't think that you can go to Starbucks and have a Frappuccino or something like that with extra whip.
Right.
So you have your meal at 7, and then when do you eat breakfast?
I really don't eat anything until 7:30-ish already. So, but I guess my question is, once I eat again, I try to hold out for another 10 or 12 hours, or like, you know.
So you eat at 7 p.m. dinner, and then when do you eat in the morning, 7 a.m.?
Yeah, about 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m.
All right. Well, don't eat till 9. Can you do that?
Okay.
Just start small. You don't have to be like, you know, you don't have to be crazy, because the shit that I'm doing now, like, there's no way in hell I would have been able to do this 2 years ago. Because, I mean, and you guys remember when I first started on the show, not even first started, I was like a year deep, where I was eating fucking yogis on the show, bananas on the show, eating berries and shit, like, constantly. And that was on top of me having breakfast, like, when I was at home. So I would wake up at 4:30 in the morning, eat at 4:30 a.m. By like 7, 8, I was starving because, you know, insulin goes up, insulin drops. So I was tired. I needed more food, needed more caffeine. It was just a horrendous cycle. So I was constantly hungry all the time. But, you know, I wouldn't tell that Anna 2 years ago to be like, all right, don't eat for 24 hours. Like, that wouldn't work. I can do that now without any problems. But at that time, just try to go 12 hours. If you're used to going 10, go 12. And then, you know, and then do that for a week. Yeah, and then do 13, 14.
And once I eat at that, let's say 9 a.m., so I hold out to 9 and 9:30. After I eat then, am I trying to hold out until my meal at 7 again?
Yeah, I wouldn't delay it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I would say that conventional wisdom on the matter would say the shorter the window, the better, you know?
Okay.
But again, that can shift and that can change depending on your goals, right? So if you're trying to lose fat, that's a really good way to do it. But if you're trying to like gain a bit more muscle, there's an argument to say, hey, like maybe you should eat twice a day and have that window be 6 hours instead of just 2. So if you're trying to lose fat, which it sounds like that's what you're trying to do, I would push it. If you usually eat at 7:30, try to wait till 8:45, 9. Have black coffee if that's something that you like. I know most people, at least people here, don't like it. I love black coffee, but
Me too.
Yep, black coffee. No cream, no milk, no sugar. Like you just fucking go black. The caffeine helps suppress appetite too, so that's good, and it also fills you up because it's like liquid. So,
All right. Well, I'm gonna dedicate myself, and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna give it a try.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. No, you don't have to pull anything crazy. You don't do 3 day fast or anything, but just push it till 9. That's it. Start there.
Like weekly or like try to do it.
Try to do it every day. Try to do it every day. If you have a family breakfast on Sundays that you do, and everybody gets up and eats at 8, do that. Eat at 8 a.m. Whatever. Don't you know? But most. You should like 80% of the time you should be sticking to the routine, to the grind. Yeah. But you know, you gotta live your life and don't miss out on family shit to fast.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
I appreciate it. I'll let you go. I don't want to keep you, but
no, you're good.
Thanks again.
That's why I'm here. Thank you. God bless. I'm a health goddamn guru. I'm a healthcare hero. Hello, who's this?
Stacy,
what's up?
I love you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Stacy. I appreciate that. Truly do. Yeah. You're one of like 6 people that like me here, and I appreciate that. Thank you for calling in and telling me that.
I'm also your little Jewish twin born in May.
Oh, really? When's your birthday?
16th.
Oh, fuck yeah. Just, yep. You said 16th? Yeah, 18th part.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And also down over me, close to 140-something pounds.
You are down 140?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Down 140. How does it feel? Probably amazing?
Completely, because I was a size 26 back in the day. And when I got married, they had to add 2-inch gussets to the sides of my wedding gown.
Ugh.
And the little Asian seamstress was saying, "You too fat. You put down fork."
Yeah. Sometimes they don't have a filter at all. I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I did. I put down the fork when I put down the first husband.
Okay.
and diet and exercise. And now I stay on a low glycemic and
low GI,
work out constantly. And
beautiful.
I'm 51 in May.
Look at you. You're probably in better shape now than you were like in your 30s, right? Is it one of those?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, because when I was fat, I thought I was hot shit.
Yeah. And is that because of society telling you that you should be, you're beautiful at any size sort of deal? Or was this?
No, I had an ego on me. But now I'm like, oh no, don't look at me. And I don't like to draw a lot of attention to
myself.
I would get in a bikini at 265 pounds and only 4'10".
Wow. So you're pretty short.
I am tiny.
Yeah. You're a little spinner. Well, I'm glad you got the weight off, because honestly, that is the best bet of health, is to just get that fucking weight off, whether it's Ozempic or whether it's intermittent fasting, or even if you have to get bariatric surgery. Like, obesity is not good for any sort of chronic issues, whether it be diabetes, cancer, heart disease. Like, just get the fucking weight off, and you did it. So you should be really, really proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Bye.
God, she sounds so sweet and nice. Can't believe people like that like me, but I do appreciate it. I can't stop taking calls, so we'll just keep doing it. Hello, who's this? Hello? All right. Hello? Hello?
Anna, it's Fred in Ohio.
Fred in Ohio. What's going on?
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you suggest on the intermittent fasting for somebody that's a diabetic that can't go that long because my blood sugar will drop?
Oof. Don't fucking ask me that shit, buddy. I just got a bachelor's degree in physical anthropology. I really can't help you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I don't even know what to tell you to do. Because I would just be like, fucking, power through it, but don't listen to me, because I don't know the repercussions of, the blood sugar dropping too low, and I know you could, lose a foot or something. So please don't ask me that. Please Google or something. Get it. Talk to a doctor.
If
reserve.
If it drops too low, you can pass out and go into a low sugar coma.
Right. Yeah. So again, don't ask me, buddy. I don't know. Are you type 2 or type 1?
I'm type 2.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't ask me. I would tell you to just power through it. But again, if you come back with you lost a foot, that's not going to be good for my reputation. So I am going to reserve the right to say anything to you, because I don't know. Talk to a doctor that knows what they're talking about. Thank you. Sorry,
right,
Fred.
Thank you.
Sorry, Fred. Yeah. Don't try to get me in that fucking legal. Responsibility or liability. Hello, who's this?
Hey, Anna Hummel. It's Scout. I'm
Hi, Scout!
Three shows in a row.
Hell yeah, you are. I wish you were coming to Bump at 199 tonight.
Oh, I know.
You really are the highlight of Barb. And I for people that don't go, you should go just to see Scout in her all of her glory. Because honestly, you are. You're so much fun. You're you're loud, you're drunk, but not throwing up or doing anything crazy. But you rile the party up. You're usually the first person to cheer when Dan or Kevin is giving a speech. You'll be like, hell yeah! And then the crowd erupts. But you really are the ringleader of fun during Barb weekend. I hope you know that.
I'm trying to learn some restraint in the fact
that's the last thing I want you to do.
There was one barf where, I don't remember large chunks of it. I had to be picked up off the floor, I guess, several times. I don't remember getting back to the hotel room. So I think I got the right combination, because the last two have been really solid performances, I think. So.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm striving for. I want to be able to have some memory of it, not just holding pictures.
I was told I had fun. Yeah.
But, yeah. But I'm kind of, I meant what I said the other day about the people that the show brings into your life. And when we were home last month, Elkhart Rob came down to our house for dinner. And we're going to be home in May on the 19th. So anybody who's in Arizona, don't want to make, doesn't mind making the trek down to Tucson, let's go out. Let's go to dinner. Hit
Amazing. And you really are a really good person of a point of contact, because everybody, you're friends with everybody, you've known the show for years, and if you get to know Scout, she's gonna just enhance your social life to the nth degree. You really are. Like, I saw the after Barp you, I'm not going to say exactly where because maybe you don't want people to know, but like you, Amy, Wizzy, Tease, like y'all did dinner on, near the beach somewhere. And I'm like, and, you know,
yeah,
and we were invited.
Airbnb.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And it was just like so fucking cool.
It was the best time. I think we're going to try and do something like that again this time, although we might do it the days leading up to Barp. It's all still in the,
up in the air. Yeah.
We're so far out. But yeah, I just, it's just such a good group of people.
It really is.
And, you know, especially for the FTEs, man, you're out here, you're riding around in your truck.
Yeah.
You know, it like you meet people through work.
Sure.
When you're in a truck, you know. So, I mean, it's just, we know people like everywhere. I mean, there's very rarely we can't throw up, hey, we're here. And somebody isn't like, Bubba, I'm here in the state too, you know.
So yeah.
It's awesome.
Fantastic. But, yes, thank you so much for shouting out like where you're going to be and for people to meet up with you because it's such a good time. And you guys, you and Big Gulp are so hospitable. And I really was able to get a solid amount of one-on-one time with both of you. And, you know, hearing Big Gulp just talk about how grateful she is to have you in her life and for everything that she has and the kids. And, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, obviously I know she feels that way. But also, you know, it helped that we were probably drinking. But just the amount of gratitude that you both have for, you know, I think you went to Italy or you're going to Italy.
Yeah, we went like 4 years ago and we're going back to Italy and Greece this October.
Right. She was talking about that.
I like when you talk about your traveling and getting out because you can't appreciate what you have if you don't get out and see what else there is offered.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, to anybody who doesn't get out of their own backyard and see what else America has to offer. Because, I mean, through my job, I've seen everything. I've been to every state. I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But then to get to, you know, to get to go overseas and share that with someone, I mean, it's just, it's good stuff. And the older you get, the more you get a little reflective on stuff and you want to take it all in. And I like, yeah, I just, it's good stuff.
Absolutely. Just to, you know, go to a third world country, see how they live. And then, you know, you won't be complaining about, you know, the roads where you are or the fact that you don't have.
It really puts it in perspective.
Yeah. You don't have the nicest car or the nicest purse. You're just like, I don't even fucking care. I got running water and a hot shower. I don't give a fuck. So.
And kudos to anybody this late in life to kind of be putting their gas on, their foot on the gas pedal as far as getting their shit under control. And, you know, to that chick who called in a few minutes ago, I'm like, I gotta start getting my shit together. I turned 50 and I feel like it's time to start munting a little bit and get things back on track. So
absolutely. I mean, it's never too late to start. Anybody would tell you that.
That's it. So. We look forward to see what everything comes down the pipe and what's going to be offered up and just keep doing what you do.
Thank you, Scout. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Love you guys.
All right, love you.
Tonight.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, and with that, I think it's time to go. Because if you haven't had enough of me for 4 hours in the morning and an hour and a half in the early afternoon, you're going to get 2 more hours of me tonight. At Bubba 199 with Boobant, it's his birthday. I got him a really cool gift. I got him. You'll find it tonight.